Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... As Dusk Falls on Disneyland.
Oh, that's so cool!
Yeah, yeah.
That's so atmospheric.
I know, right? One from Don't Worry About the Government podcast.
We are going to have to be worried about being sued by Disney if we're not careful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're pitching a Disney film.
Well, we're pitching product placement films.
Yeah, yeah.
So think Lego Movie, think Transformers.
Yeah, Food Fight, if you've seen that.
It's got
loads of like food branding.
Right. Is that the point of it then?
Yeah, I think that's mainly what it is.
That's the gimmick.
Some parts of Toy Story have product placement in them.
We're talking stuff like films based on a single product or multiple products.
The Social Network.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Brand films. There are a lot of them. Battleship.
Battleship.
Monopoly was a thing, right? They made Monopoly.
Cluedo.
Yeah.
They're making Monopoly, I think.
Okay.
Ridley Scott has a thought.
That's like Guillermo del Toro having a thought about every game that's ever come out. Like, everyone's like, right, Guillermo del Toro's slated to do the next Tomb Raider movie. No, he dropped out because it was only one thought.
People should stop reading his thoughts.
People should just stop. Like, he should stop playing video games and then saying this didn't make a good. Because someone next to him is going to say, clearly there's someone close to him who just keeps telling the press,
Guillermo del Toro, this is a message. Stop being inspired.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're doing product placement movies this week. No guest this week.
No, it's just us.
We're doing a new genre. We're experimenting with genre.
This is the experimental genre zone.
Yeah, if you go to our Patreon, we've got a few things on the poll now.
Interesting ones.
If you sign up to our Patreon for $1 a month, you can have your say on what genre we do each week. So what's up there? We've got Buddy Movie, which we've done before.
Yeah.
Art House Movie, which we've not done before.
Yeah.
Train movie,
just any movies set on a train.
Yeah, and what will be the one next week?
I don't know, because we've got, obviously it's October, it'll be October by next week.
Oh yeah,
week.
It'll be, well, the next few weeks will be horror then.
Yeah.
Never been a better time to sign up to our Patreon to enter the poll, because it'll just be horror films.
Horror five times. do go over there.
Patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast.
But so we're heading into some unexplored territory here with the branding.
Mm-hmm.
We've done branding films before, though. Remember when we did the invention of Baby Bell or Dairy Lee?
I remember doing that vaguely.
Yeah.
So do you want to hear some product placement honourable mentions?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, thank you to Don't Worry About the Government podcast, who got in touch with us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show and facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast. You can get in touch with us there to give us titles each week based around the genre we put up. So yeah, go there, like us.
Like
Follow
and subscribe.
Us, like and subscribe.
And there literally aren't any buttons that you can subscribe. I guess iTunes.
iTunes, yeah. Subscribe on the podcast app.
But just like the Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and it'll come to you. You'll see the post. It'll say we need, with a very dry witticism about the genre that we're doing. We'll tell you that we need pictures of a certain genre, and then you'll go, "Oh, I'm inspired by that," and fire seven of them at us.
Yeah, please do follow us on the Twitter, especially because we are starting a new. A competition where we give you a film title and you have to pitch in 140 characters what that film would be. You don't win anything. We'll just read it out on the show.
Our praise.
Yeah. Honourable mentions.
Yes.
Shall we get on with some honourable mentions?
Let's get on with them.
So from Jeff Beard, we've got the Cooperative Funeral Care Holiday Movie.
So, right, let's break this down first for anyone who doesn't know what they are.
That's an incredible title.
So the Cooperative is a non-centrally owned supermarket, has been, but it's also now a bank.
Yeah, it's sort of...
building society.
Multifaceted...
And now they've branched into funeral care.
No, they've done funeral care for years, decades.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, Cooperative Funeral Care Holiday Movie.
How do we even start with that one?
I have no idea.
So I think we probably better just keep it to, like...
I'm thinking this film's about a group of people who work at the cooperative... like... we put the brand up there constantly, who go on a holiday to the beach.
Right.
Just a beach. They work at the co-op. Who I think, how many people work at a funeral care home?
I don't know. I've never really been in one, so...
I mean, I shot a film in one once. I saw three people.
Okay. Well, then we've got...
Let's go on that.
We've got... Peter Capaldi.
Yeah. He'd be a great funeral director. Yeah.
Charles Martinet.
Who's that?
He's the voice of Mario in the Mario games. But also a load of other characters in cartoons and stuff.
No, we just got Mario. just Mario. Peter Capaldi and Mario.
Super Mario.
Super Mario. Roger Rabbited in.
And Reginald D. Hunter.
Reginald D. Hunter, comedian, American comedian man who does the panel shows in England.
Yeah.
So they go on holiday.
Well, my thought.
To the beach!
My thought is that, like, something happens. Because the thing is, you could have them not being very good at funeraling, but the problem is. If you're being paid by a brand to make their product look good in a movie, then you can't have their issues at the start be that they're not very good at funeraling. Because I had this idea where they're crap at funerals, but then they meet death. Like, something terrible happens, and then they end up going on holiday with death.
Death played by,
it was Danny DeVito last time.
It was Willem Dafoe this time.
Willem Dafoe this time, of course it is, yeah.
Hey there.
Hey!
Is this the cooperative funeral?
He's going the wrong place first!
He's jumping the gun. He's going straight to the funeral care home.
Yeah, no, he went to the funeral home next door first.
Yeah.
I'm glad this time because I got it wrong. The last time I went to the next door Jimmy John's funeral care home.
And Peter Capaldi's like, oh yeah, they're fucking awful there. Terrible, terrible Peter Capaldi impression.
Pile of shite, they're a funeral care at home.
And seeing as you're here today, let's go on holiday.
No, he's like, what are you doing here, Dave? And he's like, listen, I got some bad reviews for your funeral home, and as the guy who's gotta take him across the sticks, I don't want any more unhappy customers. If people get a bad funeral, they come to me with their complaints. So you know what?
Who are they gonna complain to? You, the dead.
Listen. I took time out of my valuable day to come here to you and teach you to do better funerals. And then you have a montage of him trying to make them, but they're rubbish at it. The three of them, they're terrible.
Who? Peter Capaldi, Mario, and Reginald the Hunter.
So, yeah.
Terrible at funerals.
Yeah. And that's a stretch. It's like a training montage where they get everything wrong.
Mm.
And then he's like, listen, all right, we're going on a retreat.
They go to Butlins.
They
go to an all-inclusive Skegness. Holiday. Yeah, yeah.
And that was it. That's it, basically. They go on a holiday and then they get lost sometime during it and end up like having to save Death from the other side of a river. He gets trapped on an island. It starts flooding and he gets trapped on this island. They've gone on a bike ride. Like, he fell off his bike, and then suddenly a flood of water comes across.
I feel as though we need a romantic subplot in there. I'm thinking
Reginald D. Hunter and Mario.
I was thinking more Reginald. I was thinking no more Mario and Death.
Okay,
so Mario has to jump on a load of bricks to get to the island and
like,
save him.
I feel like that would be an abuse of power, because Death in this is the sensei character. He's the training man. So I think
Reginald
that, like,
D. Hunter and Mario. That they like Reginald D. Hunter sees Mario on the beach. With his nipples out.
Yeah.
It's canon now.
And his non-hairy chest for some reason.
He's got, Mario has a massive beard, but no hair on his chest.
He's got a beard.
He's got a beard. Oh, he's mustache.
A mustache.
That's what he was famous
they're
for.
They're different things. Reginald D. Hunter's got a big beard.
Yeah, he has now. Yeah. I haven't seen him recently. We used to hang out all the time. So yeah, I'm thinking Mario has to jump on a load of bricks to save Death from that island.
Yeah.
And he's got him. Mario's got Willem Dafoe in his arms, and he goes, "Hey Mario, looks like Death wasn't on another island after all."
There's a bit where they've got to lower the. He's broken his leg, Death, because he's got no like. Muscles or anything to stop it happening.
He's just bones. And so they about to say he's just skin and bones, but no skin even. No skin to hold up his legs.
And he's like, be careful. If I lose any bones here, if I lose any bone shards here, I'm not getting them back. So they've got to really carefully lower him down through a hole into like onto a stretcher. But it's like they've got to get the ropes and like lower them down really slowly. It's like in a funeral, they're learning all the skills from the funeral by saving Death.
And at the end he was like, "Looks like you had the skills all along." And then he
they were in your heart.
Looks to the character and winks.
Yeah.
But like because he's got like just an eye hole because he's a skull, it's kind of a weird bone movement.
Yeah, the bone just kind of
crumples in together and then goes back.
Or his bone crumples into his eye socket. The bone of his brow crumples into his eye socket. And Reginald Hunter goes, "What the hell is that?" And then he goes, "I was trying to wink, but I forgot it. I can't do it now. That's permanent."
"I lost my eye, so."
"There's a reason I wear a hood most of the time."
Okay, so we've got one here from Ewan O'Leary, and that is the Pringles movie.
The Pringles movie.
We all know the man on the Pringles.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
You can't stop. Right, I've got a great casting suggestion for the Pringles man.
Yeah.
And it might suggest the theme of this film.
Okay.
And also the tagline being, "Once you pop, you can't stop."
Right.
Danny Trejo, Machete.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's a good idea, yeah. Okay.
Because he kind of looks like him, in a way.
In a way.
The man on the Pringles can.
I feel like the man in the Pringles can looks a little more. It's supposed to look a little more like an Italian waiter.
Yeah, but we can
not
go
a kind of like kind of Latinate man with big bushy mustache.
No, Danny Trejo, right? And I'm thinking this is full. This is directed by Robert Rodriguez,
right?
Full on Mexican action movie.
Okay, right. I'm in.
Once you pop, you cannot stop.
Right, good.
Pringles.
Yeah, but right, what is this? Is this the invention of Pringles, or is it just a kind
I think
of,
it's just got Pringles involved.
Do they use them to power themselves up?
I think
are they a drug? Because I feel like if they're anything, you know, once you pop, you can't stop. It is a thing of like it is a horror or not a horror, but like a. The theme is that people can't stop eating Pringles.
I think, right.
It's a drug analogy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. What I'm thinking is a drug cartel is shipping drugs across America using Pringles cans.
And it's a good cover because Pringles are so addictive that people buying 8, 10, 20 Pringles at a time isn't surprising.
No. Yeah, it's the greatest cover ever.
Yeah.
Like, once you pop, you just can't stop kind of thing. Like, not only is it, like, marijuana, it's, like, coke. It's everything. All the drugs ever, basically, being shipped. All the different colours are different drugs.
Yeah.
Like, you've got sour cream and onion. that is coke. You've got ready salted, that's marijuana.
Right.
And
salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar, the blue one, yeah. That is ketamine. I'm just thinking of
there
drugs.
Are just more,
ecstasy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Loads of drugs.
Whatever. Just let your mind run wild
just
with that
drugs,
for a second.
Yeah, just think of a flavour and then think of a drug and then repeat. And then you can just skip the next...
So...
We can skip the next bit of...
open up with... What are they called? FDA?
DEA?
DEA. Open up with DEA...
agents.
Agent.
Busting down a door.
Right. I say it was directed by Rodriguez. If you've ever seen the film Sicario,
right,
which is about Emily Blunt helping to bring down a drug cartel,
yeah,
it's kind of shot like that. The Denis Villeneuve kind of psychological, like, very close, intense music.
Visceral sort of, yeah.
And it opens up with DEA doing a big drugs bust on
so
the Pringles.
Kicking, they're bashing down a door.
Mm.
All the shots are real close because it feels like they're very thin corridors.
Mm.
And like they're busting through, you know, like almost like the fight, you know, the punch fight scenes in Daredevil and stuff where
yeah.
he's in those drug lair things.
Well, in the opening of Sicario, there's a bit where they do a bust on a house.
Right.
Where there's a load of dead bodies vacuum sealed and hidden in the walls of this building.
Right.
I'm thinking we do that shot for shot, except in the walls of this building are just Pringles cans.
Okay.
And then cut to the Pringles headquarters.
Yeah.
I mean, the image in my mind is of a like factory building.
You know
with,
what? No.
With a giant chimney with the Pringles logo on it.
I disagree with that first scene.
Yeah?
It's not a house.
Mm.
It's a corner shop.
Okay, right.
They bust in.
Yeah.
And they're like, get out of the floor, you know, and then you can see that, weirdly, all of the shelves are full of Pringles.
Mm.
Like, it looked like a normal corner shop
but
at the front here, but then they go back a bit.
Every shelf is Pringles.
Every shelf is Pringles.
And I'm thinking we have one DEA agent who has seen just too much. He cannot take the fact that they're taking a brand as pure as Pringles
yeah.
and tainting it with drugs.
Ray Romano.
Ray Romano is the DEA agent.
Yeah.
And so cuts to Pringles HQ.
Yeah.
Pringles CEO, played by Sam Rockwell.
Okay. Best known for his... his sterling work in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Was he? Wow. I thought you were about to say Moon, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Why not?
Not in the new one. Not the Michael Bay one.
Is he in?
Was that Michael Bay?
Yeah, Michael Bay.
No, he wasn't in that one. I'm in the old one.
Oh, right, cool. Cut to him on the phone. It's like, what are we going to do? And then it puts the phone down. He's got this board meeting going, what are we going to do, guys? Our brand is going to be ruined by these drugs.
Yes. Well, why don't we have Danny Trejo, right, be affiliated with Pringles, and he's got to wipe out this drugs industry
by force. They get in. They have on speed dial...
The Danny Pringles man.
Danny Trejo, the Pringles man.
He's like a fixer.
Yeah. He's the man on the logo.
Yeah.
Like,
for a reason.
Yeah.
Because back in, and this is Sam Rockwell says, he says, back in my granddaddy's day, the reason, Danny Trejo descended from a load of people who look just like the Pringles man.
Yeah.
And he's like, back in my granddaddy's day, when he first made the Pringles, there were a lot of bad banditos,
hombres.
Bad hombres, coming by, and they would rob his crisp store every day. But one man stood in their way, and he's trained his children to, or like. But surely he's dead by now, and it's like
no,
somehow
no,
it's like Zorro,
you know,
it keeps getting passed down.
So, Danny Trejo is hired to take down this drug cartel.
Yeah.
Like, he...
I love how there's a job for just one person whenever Pringles is in trouble.
He's He's, yeah.
Oh, the, to be fair, think about that moustache, right? On the Pringles man. There are other characters who have similar moustaches. Captain Crunch.
Yeah.
Mario. Like Monopoly Man.
Monopoly Man.
Like, what if they're all based on
Danny Trejo.
On Danny Trejo and family? He's like a brand guardian.
So, yeah, Danny Trejo...
It's like Zorro, like something... It's almost supernatural, the way that they work.
Yeah. Danny Trejo goes across the border into Mexico to track down these drug cartels, shoots them down. He gets to the very top. Like, there's a whole scene where he shoots his way through this, like, massive mansion.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they call them in Mexico. You know what I mean?
It's
like
not,
a,
yeah, it's
giant,
not
a giant...
Yeah, I can't remember.
The giant estate in rural Mexico.
Yeah.
And it's all very, like... well, I'm thinking it starts off quite stealthy, but then he's set up a lot of explosives all across the place. So
yeah.
The whole place goes up in flames.
Yeah.
And he gets to the top with his gun, turns around in the chair. It's Sam Rockwell.
Oh, my God. He was doing it all along.
Yeah, yeah. He has set up this trap for Danny Trejo.
Why?
Just a twist.
that's why, the twist.
Who was the DEA agent again?
Ray Romano.
Ray Romano.
I feel like they've had a...
Like there's a parallel going on between Danny Trejo shooting places up and Ray Romano on the case. Like, he's trying to figure out who the hell Danny Trejo is.
Yeah, Ray Romano and Danny Trejo have the Batman Commissioner Gordon relationship. But not the one, the you're in trouble now relationship.
That kind of thing. Yeah, he's wanted to get Danny Trejo's character, but he's always managed to slip away right at the end.
He thinks that Danny Trejo is involved with it rather than being trying to stop
it. He's like a vigilante kind of thing.
Well, not even that. I think he thinks that he's always at the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
So,
The one thing connecting him is him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what's his name? Sam Rockwell shoots Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Ties him up in this burning building, and it's like, yeah, you're gonna burn along with the rest of this shit. And I think the reason behind Sam Rockwell,
you know what, I've decided it's not he's not gonna be put into he's not gonna be in a burning building.
Nah.
He's in a Pringles factory, and the Pringles are being stamped into that curved shape.
Yes, there we go.
And he's gonna get stamped flat
and
curved.
Right. He kills the cartel guy.
Yeah.
And says, maybe you should check on your employer.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And the clue leading him to the Pringles, back to the Pringles factory.
Yeah.
And Sam Rockwell turns out to be behind it because people aren't buying Pringles anymore.
People have stopped.
Like, there's a line where it's like, people have stopped after popping.
For the first time in years.
In history.
First time in history, people are popping and then stopping. And he does a big speech about like fad diets and whole grain and things like that.
And I just needed to...
And he picks up a can of Pringles. And he throws it across the room, smashing the glass door of the office. He says, "God damn it! You could even get even McDonald's has got apple slices." So he's in the Pringles factory. Danny Trejo is hostaged.
So yeah, he needs like a life raft because the Pringles are going downhill.
Yeah.
And so he selling drugs would obviously make him a lot of money to sort of retire on. He's like, I ain't got no kids to keep this company going. I'm going to live out my retirement like a king.
Yeah.
And Danny Trejo is shocked by it because they were great, like, childhood friends.
Yeah.
And Sam Rockwell shoots him.
I think Sam Rockwell ties him to a conveyor belt.
Okay.
And then his hand gets stamped into the shape of a Pringle. Oh, no,
I've got it.
His hand gets put into a Pringles can.
No. He... yeah, that happens, right? All his limbs are getting stuck. stuffed into Pringles cans.
And he can't get them out.
So he's walking around. Dan Trejo's walking around with Pringles cans on his arms.
He can't get them out because his hands are notoriously big.
That's what they do to strap him down, yeah. So he can't move.
Yeah.
And Ray Romano comes in, shoots Sam Rockwell, comes in to save the day. But unlucky for Danny Trejo, his face has already gone through the pressing. So he comes out.
He's got the logo.
He comes out, right, yeah. With the body of Danny Trejo with Pringles cans for limbs. And the Pringles man's face for a head. Because it's been through the...
It's flattened.
Yeah, it's flattened. That's how we end the film. And the Pringles movie.
No, we just we have... We end on that stamper coming down.
Mm.
And we think Danny Trejo is dead. Mm. Right? And Raymond's like, no! And then he goes through and, you know, you get the echo and the low-pass filter where everything seems like it's just after an explosion or something. It's that sort of no!
Yeah. Saving Private Ryan opening scene.
And then fade to black. Fade up again on...
A hospital bed.
No. Fade up again on the boardroom of the Pringles towers. Yeah. It's a giant Pringles can.
Yes!
And fade up on the boardroom, and everyone's like, I want everyone to welcome our new president. He's made some great decisions. Or saying, we've had our best turnover in years thanks to the amazing branding from you, president, of the CEO of the corporation. And the boardroom chair swivels round, and it's Danny Trejo with the big Pringles face.
Pringles head, yeah.
And he's
thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, that's
the Pringles movie.
So yeah, thank you everyone for your titles this week. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show and give us a like on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast as well to get titles given to us from there.
And additionally, don't forget to go over to Instagram at Life's a Pitch Show to look at all our tasty posters, and we sometimes take pictures with guests and have cool stuff going on there. So it's... we are using it, I promise. So go over to Instagram and follow us over there. If you want to support the show, if you're enjoying it, or if you have been enjoying it, then why not go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast, where you can chip in an insignificant amount of money that helps us an immense amount, not only in justifying the time that put this to our friends and close family members, but also in being able to do extra things, make the podcast better, buy extra equipment, bring in people from further afield. There are a million reasons that it helps out when people... supporters on Patreon, but it's amazing that people are doing that, and that is a great thanks from Tommy. Do you want to read them out?
Yeah, we've got My Waste of Talent, Ross_Originals, Brandon Spanky Mills, Joe Hegarty, and Adam Owen.
So
thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys, for your amazing support on the podcast.
Yes, so on with today's main pitch, and that is... As Dusk Falls on Disneyland.
As Dusk Falls on Disneyland.
Thank you, Dwatg, for that one. Don't worry about the government podcast.
As Dusk Falls on Disneyland. John Hurt sort of
he does the voiceover for it. The title suggested instantly for me...
Yeah.
When From Dusk Till Dawn meets Westworld/ Jurassic Park.
I feel like... You know how you've got the people who do the character acting and stuff as Disney?
Yeah, yeah.
In Disney characters. Mm. What if there were a certain amount of them that weren't people? that were manifest characters.
Oh, that came from
that were just were just real characters. As in that had been brought to life by the magic of Disney. And
that's
They don't stop.
Amazing.
They don't stop being them when Disneyland comes around. When Dusk comes around on Disneyland,
I was gonna go for horror film, but I think a genuine, sincere Disney movie about the love of Disney characters would be so much better.
Disney movie. It would be a better film, but would it be funnier?
Yeah, we could make it funny.
Well, yeah, what if these... Right. Got it.
Mm.
So, it's established that when dusk falls in Disneyland, everyone goes home.
Mm.
But these characters come out and they start wandering around Disneyland, meeting with each other, having adventures like in the Disney films.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But one night, some college kids break in. And either they're threatening to expose them.
Oh, no, and because they're not children,
yeah.
The magic goes off.
Yeah, the magic starts to fade.
The magic of children has brought these characters to life.
Yeah.
And when the children leave, the magic stays until the next day.
Yeah. Tinkerbell was a clue, right? Mm. These people coming in that don't believe in the characters is draining them of their power.
Mm.
And they're starting to die.
So let's get casting, shall we?
Yeah.
Who were we going for here? Like,
who's going to be our main Disney character? Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, Mickey Mouse. I think Bill Murray.
Bill Murray as Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, voicing Mickey Mouse. Then we've got Minnie Mouse, Kristen Wiig.
Okay, fair.
Donald Duck.
I would have gone with Robin Williams, but you know.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, why not with Robin Williams?
Robin Williams. Goofy.
Goofy. Are we having to put these people in suits? Are we?
I think they're in suits. I think it's Roger Rabbit style.
No, you know what? Because then you'd just use the cartoon actors.
No.
I think we're painting these people, actual actors. Because they're manifesting real, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're painting these people like the cartoon characters.
Bastard. I'm going to make the poster for this.
Okay, right. Yeah. Well, whatever.
It's Roger Rabbiting.
Okay, it's just that, why wouldn't you use the regular characters then? Why cast it?
We got to bring in those fan books.
Cash.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sure. So you've got actually, who does Donald Duck in DuckTales? Because you've got Scrooge McDuck and that's David Tennant.
Yeah, Ron Williams. But yeah, I'm thinking like because there are people who are actually played by actual people as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like you know,
Snow White. Who would make a good Snow White?
Well, that's why I thought that these should be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think we should put Robin Williams in. A Donald Duck costume, one of those big fluffy costumes.
So we go on just mascots then. That's cool.
They're better costumes so that there's no seal. Like you see the people at the end of the day.
And the mouse can move
exactly.
Like fully animated.
Fully animated. It's right, so it's Jim Henson at puppetry, but with Robin Williams inside.
Mm. So Mickey Mouse is the king of Disneyland.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He lives in the big castle in the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah. Lives in the big castle.
The big palace.
What's that? I think it's... Is it Club M or something like that?
Don't know.
There's this like a secret...
You mean the Mickey Mouse
Club? No, the Mickey Mouse Club is a whole different thing. But there's like a...
Miley Cyrus thing.
There's a place in Disneyland that only certain people who have... It's like the Masons...
Really?
But with Disneyland, it's incredible. There's a lot of weird things about Disneyland. Like you're not allowed to point if you work there.
You got to do the weird sort of two finger
point thing.
Walt Disney does in the statue.
Yeah, or use just hand movements. You're never allowed to point.
So strange.
Yeah, and there's a ton of just this is the thing why the teenagers have been. Kind of wanting to break in to find all these underground tunnels.
Epcot secrets.
Yeah, yes. Epcot secrets. They break into the... So we've got this established...
They're conspiracy theorists.
We've got this established order of magic bringing these mascots and actors to life.
So we see dusk falling, right? Mm. So we see people leaving the thing. The start of it is the parade at the end of Disneyland.
Yeah.
At the end of the day in Disneyland. You see the guy, the caretaker, take off his hat, put it on the thing.
Like Night at the Museum.
Lock the doors, lock the gates, and he goes, good night, Disneyland. And then
Bill Murray's like, good night.
the gates to Disneyland is played by the guy who does the mirror in Shrek. And he's like, good night, with his big gate
mirror
face.
Mirror on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the, from Snow White.
Yeah.
Originally.
Yeah, I know, yeah, but yeah.
And so, it's like, I think we should just show, like, one establishing night at Disney World. Like, they get on and stuff. There's a few...
You see Mickey coming down... Oh, no, wait. You see, like, it's... As everyone else is taking their heads off in the mascot thing, Donald Duck goes like that, and then he goes around the corner, and then sort of, like, goes off into his house, in these lands, pretending to be a guy in the main, but he's not.
Well,
they only come out at night.
They only come out at night.
Okay, right. Yeah. Okay.
So the mascot outfits come to life.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
And all the people who play the parts just in like as people.
I feel that's a bit physical though. That's not magical enough.
Well, they just stay there.
Or maybe that's just the spirit of the character.
Just don't question it.
Yeah.
They just stay in character. I mean, they get paid to stay in character.
So
even when people aren't there.
So they, like, you see Donald Duck. Like walking through the town and saying, hello, I can't do his voice at all. Why did I choose Donald Duck? Fuck's sake.
Yeah, I know.
But because I wanted to get the scene where you're seeing someone else walk through
it's
the town.
It's from Williams, so you just go, hello there.
And then you see Mickey coming down the spiral, and everyone's like, Mickey's here!
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, hi guys! Oh, well.
It's Bill Murray, Matt.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
Okay, he's got to do a bit of a...
No, he only does that when kids are there.
No, because he is Mickey Mouse.
Fine, man.
What's the point of this?
We're not casting anyone apart from like the actual human people.
Okay.
Every mascot person is done with the voice of that
cartoon,
person. So,
right.
Yeah. Hey, everyone, how's it going?
Okay, right.
Welcome to another lovely night. In an empty Disneyland!
Woohoo! And they all fly, and they're like Peter Pan flies out of the pirate zone. And
Peter Pan played by Harry Styles.
Yep, who else? Ariel does a flip out of the lake in the middle of it. And,
Ariel and is like surfing, well, like Moana is surfing on Ariel's body.
No, like, I tell you what.
Or they go around the
river. Ariel jumps out of the lake, right? Like Free Willy, right? Into the fountain at the middle of the entrance of Disneyland.
Yeah.
You know, that really shallow fountain.
Yeah.
And she's just there hanging out. And someone's brought her someone from another franchise has brought her a drink.
Jennifer Lawrence's Ariel.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there's an established order here of like they all just hang out, have a great party, keep the magic going until the kids return the next day. So the kids return, kids come back.
Yep.
Next night,
that's when
teenagers.
During the day, we see some teens come in and they're all looking, they're getting caught. One of them gets caught by security and they're like saying stuff about their conspiracy theories about Epcot and all that stuff. Mm. And they're like, I heard that Hitler's brain's down here. And like,
I've never heard that conspiracy theory before. No, Hitler's brain is hidden somewhere in Disney World.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're after.
Yeah. No, it's just like they're kind of anarchists. They like hate.
Well, no, it's no. They are neo-Nazi teenagers that are after the artifact of Hitler's brain.
But also, right,
which isn't there.
Yeah, but also there's an aspect to them which is post-childhood cynicism about the magic of animated characters.
We are going down a horror film route now.
Yeah.
Where the Disney characters, like, you're fine with them?
Yeah. They're like, nice guys. They've got a community going on.
Yeah, yeah. And the established... It's not like a... It's more of an exploitation film. It's not a horror film. It's
I feel like... Right. But it is not
expected. We're meant to feel good about these Disney characters kill these teenagers.
Except there's a couple of teenagers who are like only coming along because they thought they were cool. Like the guys behind them were cool. It's like, I want to say, oh, fuck it. Let's go with Maisie Williams again. Like, she used to love Disney.
Mm.
loved it, right? That she's got a pass to Disneyland. That's how she gets in. Like,
so the people who don't believe,
yeah, are the ones getting picked off.
The ones getting picked off.
Yeah.
So we've got let's count on Maisie Williams.
Yep.
She's the good one.
Yeah.
She's the one who believes.
Yeah, she's got see her going home after the day.
Yeah.
And she's got her walls are lined with, they've got band posters, but like one of them falls down and it's got like a Disneyland poster.
Yeah. Disneyland Disneyland like wallpaper. Like yeah. Disney wallpaper and stuff. And yeah, she falls in with a tough crowd of quite shitty teenagers.
Because she fancies this boy, who's the boy. Yeah.
The boy is
teenage actors.
I can't really cast anyone to be a dickhead.
Daniel Radcliffe. Fifties Beat Radcliffe back.
Yeah. He's like a really really tough. Like he's got a shaved head. He's got a shaved head.
Yeah.
He rolls up his sleeves. He's got like a cigarette packet in the roll of his sleeves. Got tattoos. Smokes cigarettes. And Maisie Williams thinks he's the coolest person ever.
Yeah.
He does have a load of dickhead friends.
Yeah.
Like. And they're like, let's break into Disneyland and ruin the place. Like, that's what they want to do. No going after Hitler's brain.
No.
Forget that.
Well, there's one of them who's a conspiracy theorist, and he's going after Hitler's brain.
But yeah, they go down Main Street throwing bricks and stuff, and Mickey Mouse goes to the window of his thing and is like, oh no! It's happened, guys! It's happened! It's finally happened!
We always prepare for this day!
And, they find Ariel, and she's like, hello? What are you doing here? And Daniel Radcliffe gets a pool cue and smacks her over the head with it.
Gets a fishing net.
Yeah, that's
drags
her
out of
that's
the lake.
Better. That's better than a pool cue. He just grabs a weapon and... Like, yeah, fishing net drags her out of the fountain and leaves her there to die.
And she's like flipping
Moana
around.
Comes and helps her back once they're gone. And I'm trying to think how you get to the point in which the Disney characters form
snap.
Up.
Snap. Yeah, and go crazy. Yeah. I think after the death of someone beloved.
Mm.
Someone beloved's gotta die.
What Disney character?
Should we kill off? I think someone expendable, maybe old, maybe who dies or should have died in their original film for pathos, right?
I can't think of anyone old in a Disney film.
What if it's like, what if it was Tinkerbell? They kill Tinkerbell.
Yeah, like he swats her like a fly.
And he catches her in a net and then says, I don't believe in you! And she crumbles to dust.
Jesus Christ. That's terrifying.
She's like screaming at the top of her voice. We've got,
I do exist! I do exist! No! As she crumbles.
Who is playing Tinkerbell?
Natalie Dormer.
Natalie Dormer, and she's going, I do exist! And she just, as her face crumbles to sand and dust.
like the ending of an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah. Please, I do exist! And he's like, no, you don't! I don't believe in you! And just...
I love how we can see her perfectly there as this fairy's like, I don't believe in you!
And then you hear this low, bassy tone... And then you just see Mickey Mouse staring out over his balcony, like... And then before, he'd been like, leave him alone. They're only kids.
Yeah, yeah.
They are the heart and soul of everything. They'll turn around. You know, they will be better.
Now the shit has hit the fan.
Yeah, and now he's like, not in my name.
Get me Wreck-It Ralph.
And Captain Hook.
Get me the villains.
Yes! Ursula, like... Moana dumps Ariel back into the lake, and then just
they've all
just,
got him caged and up
they're
somewhere.
They're chasing Moana, who's carrying Ariel back to the lake, and they're about to catch up with them. And Moana falls over, Ariel flops into the water, but Moana's about to get killed. And then suddenly Ursula bursts out the water and just grabs one of them and drowns them in the water.
Like Ursula, but like a Lovecraftian horror film version of Ursula.
Well, it starts off looking like Ursula. Well, who's going to play Ursula?
Titus Burgess.
Well, okay, yeah. Right. But it is just not animated. It's Titus Burgess, but with a giant puppetry animatronic tentacles, right? But like when he speaks, his mouth turns to like these octopus tendril Cthulhu tendril things, and he's like, "You shouldn't have done that, boys," and then just like smashes two of them together.
Why,
and dumps them
you
into the
poor unfortunate souls. And he's just like reveling in like in the violence of killing these teenagers. And so like some of them like run off. Maisie Williams is like one of the few that get away as they wander off into pirate land, on board is Captain Hook.
It was Dustin Hoffman's there, like on board the ship, and he's like firing cannons at them ship.
They walk onto the ship like, oh god, thank god it's safe here on the pirate ship.
And suddenly you hear cut to, there's a scratching sound.
Yeah.
Cut to Dustin Hoffman scratching a hook along the wall.
As he lights up a cigarette.
Yeah.
As a cigar. And his face is lit up by the flame of the cigar. And you hear this tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. And then one of the kids just gets snapped up by the crocodile.
At which point everyone else bolts, right? They run into the jungle, right? They finally hide in this cave. And then just like... And it's the Lost Boys, and they just like got sticks and shit.
Lost Boys, they're not a villain as such. I think,
doesn't matter. They're in the same land.
I think it's like Mickey Mouse when he sees Tinkerbell's died.
Yeah.
He's like, we can't get
by. We're friendly people.
It's the Disneyland version of the Suicide Squad. They get all the villains together. It's a film of Suicide Squad.
So is there a scene where you see Mickey, but only on face on Mickey? He's in a room and a lot of chairs on like facing him.
Yeah,
can't see who's in them, and he's like, "You and I both know that if we die, you die. if they disrupt the magic of this park, you'll die too, and you know that we don't have the power to stop them. Not without you. Are you with me?" And you hear a big cheer of various voices, and then that's when you cut to the start of this violence.
That's when the violence happens.
Yeah.
Who's the leader of...
Villains.
Would you say it's Maleficent?
Probably Maleficent.
It's Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And she's like...
Because then she's going to betray the good
guys
somehow.
I've been waiting for this day.
She's going to betray the good guys somehow, right? In some way, when all the kids are dead, she'll rule Disneyland.
Yeah.
Instead of Mickey.
She's been waiting for this opportunity.
Which is what Maisie Williams is in there for, as a plot doohickey, for the person who finally... Because if all the magic fades, the magic will fade from the good guys first, right? And she thinks she can time it where everyone dies. That's why these cages, they're putting people in cages. They're putting some of the remaining teenagers in cages. If, like, the good guys will die first.
Just to use as weapons.
Yeah.
So if
she kills them just before dawn, the good guys will die first, and then she'll take the throne, and then the gates will open again, and children will come back into
it. And it'll be a theme park for villains, not for heroes.
Because she knows that these teenagers have respect for the villains and no respect for the good guys in these films, right?
It's a comment on how when you grow up, you're rooting for the villains a lot more.
When you're a teenager.
When you're a teenager,
Like when you've got that cynicism in you.
You identify with the villains a lot more.
Yeah.
God, why are they so happy?
Yeah,
I want to kill them too.
I'm moody. These people... like violence like I do.
So let's go back to just writing scenes in which these teenagers die.
Well, I think we've got to move on to a little bit to sort of, you know, you can imagine other scenarios yourself if you want.
Mm.
You know, Tematoa's in there in that cave as well from Moana, and he's just like snapping people in half. Like twigs with his big claws.
Nice and shiny.
As he slicks his face with their blood. Like Ursula, like earlier, pulled someone's arms off.
Oh god, I'm trying to think of more Disney villains.
Well, you've got the guy from Hunchback, the priest fella.
Mm.
You've got what's his name? Gaston.
Yes.
Gaston's just like punching the hell out of people. Like,
you think you're so tough, eh? No one's as tough as Gaston.
No one fights like Gaston. like, there's a guy. There's one big bully teen who's there, and he's like he takes judo and stuff, and that's him typified. He like bullies kids at school and fights them, and
Gaston just punches him to death.
Gaston is just like, yeah, he just no one fights like Gaston. Boom!
But like gets him on the ground and then just punches his head to a pulp.
Yeah, it's a POV shot from the kid that just gets redder and redder as Gaston's just ahead on top of him, punching him into the ground. Who's playing Gaston?
Who plays him in the...
I don't know.
Luke Evans.
Is it Luke Evans?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay, then we'll have that.
Fantastic in that film.
He's not bad, actually.
He's really, really good. Mufasa. Just a lion.
Mufasa.
Scar.
Scar. Wow. Jeremy Irons running around, like, not actually Jeremy Irons, but like, Jeremy Irons' voice, like, as he, like, pounces from rock to rock in, like, the canyon zone, you know, with the runaway train and
Scar
stuff.
Scar and Shere Khan.
Yeah. Like, they're crisscrossing as they bounce from place to place.
And Scar from the Jungle Book has got one of the teenagers, like, but just swallows one.
In fact, one of them's got a gun, and a couple of them brought guns in, because it's America, and Scar hypnotizes him into shooting his friends.
And himself.
Yeah. God, this is so dark!
As dusk falls on Disneyland.
We started with this sort of like, you know, we started with this sort of premise of like, oh, we've got to preserve the magic of Disney. And I thought, Disney might approve of this, and no, not anymore.
Well, there was that film shot in Disney World, like on a DSLR camera. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Escape from Tomorrowland, is it? Yeah, which someone shot without the permission of Disney, just while going around Disney World.
But you couldn't get this amount of puppetry.
You couldn't do that.
you couldn't get this amount of puppetry in there, could you?
No.
You've got, what's his name, Hades?
Oh,
from Hercules.
James Woods.
Yeah, James Woods. And it is James Woods, but painted like purple. And he's got his head on fire. Mm. And he, towards the end, he will set the palace on fire.
Mm.
Like, that is sort of him and the priest from Hunchback of Notre Dame will set the palace on fire as they're trying to overthrow Mickey in the last moments. Just as Maisie Williams comes in and, like, on the back of someone entirely pure. Who is the meeting of the goddess of Disney?
It's Mufasa. Because that's her favourite movie.
Yeah, Lion King is her favourite movie.
He appears to her in the clouds.
Yeah.
And then Simba picks her up. And
Timon and Pumbaa are there.
Yeah, yeah. Takes her to the...
She's like, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And then he's like, Hakuna Matata, kid.
After all this death and blood and violence,
it's in the past. Doesn't matter.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
What a wonderful phrase!
And as they sing, and she starts singing along, and this beam of light just pours out of her, and like there's a patch of daylight that just starts in the middle of Disneyland, and just starts to spread outwards, and she like. She turns on the sprinkler system.
Well, I think, yeah, she gets rounded up by...
She's in a cage.
Yeah, well, she gets rounded up by the villains as they sort of have this coup on Disneyland.
Yeah.
And she meets Mickey Mouse. It's like, you should never have broken in here, you know that? And she's like,
and that's why you're gonna die.
I'm just so sorry. Like, what? I love Disney. I love them all. I just want everything to go back to the way it was and not have my friends die and not have all this badness happen. And Mickey Mouse is like, well, you just gotta believe. You just gotta believe in yourself and everything's okay. Yeah.
I gotta believe.
And so, Mickey Mouse and Maisie Williams and all the rounded up Disney people that are taken into Maleficent's chambers.
Yeah.
And she's got Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, man.
And she's like...
She's using him to power her spell. She's got him at the centre of this ritual, which is pumping out, like, disbelief into the whole park.
And she's like, do it. Do it, Daniel Radcliffe. Exterminate them. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. And Mickey Mouse is like, you know what to do, Maisie. And she's like, I believe in everything.
Yeah.
that's something she says. And then...
So she's like, it's starting to work, but then Daniel Radcliffe shoots her in the shoulder. Like,
I won't be your boyfriend anymore.
I won't let you do this. This is... I hate Disney. Disney took my family from me.
Disney is for children.
His mum died when he was watching Beauty and the Beast.
Wow. Yeah. And he made that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a damaged man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
got a cigarette rolled up in his sleeves. He's mad.
So he's shot her in the shoulder and she's like on the floor. Her belief reaches out throughout the park. You're shimmering into the sky. And you hear this, like, creaking. And Walt Disney, the statue of Walt Disney, comes to life.
Why, thank you, little girl.
Swinging a giant lead Mickey Mouse that he had next on his hand.
And he just completely lumps off Daniel Radcliffe's head.
Yeah.
And then stops in that position.
Yeah,
so he's like holding Mickey Mouse by the leg, his statue of Mickey Mouse by the leg.
From then on, Walt Disney's holding Mickey Mouse.
So the kids come in the next morning. Maisie Williams has got all her friends back. She wished for her friends back.
And everything's back to normal, like, otherwise.
Apart from this statue.
the one thing they missed.
Yeah. So like all the kids are looking at it like, that's weird. Like, that's a really strange thing to happen. But okay.
There you go.
Thank you, Maisie Williams. You've restored the wonder of magic back to my beloved theme park.
Who's that played by? I think Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, sure.
Robert Downey Jr. played Walt Disney.
Yeah.
Also, I want to set the record straight. I do like people of different colours. He says.
Yeah, just before he stops.
Because if you imagine this is Disney certified. So you want Disney just like, if they're going to put Disney Walt Disney in anything, they're going to have to set the record straight.
They're going to make him the hero. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's the deus ex machina in it. Yeah,
of
yeah.
All colours and creeds and sexual orientation.
As he says that, you've got Brer Rabbit bouncing along in the background.
He just goes, boom! And just smashes Brer Rabbit into the ground. You're a bad memory.
Song of the South.
Yeah.
You're a bad memory and we want you erased.
Pull the lever, trapdoor, into the depths of Epcot. And actually at the end, you know, like...
Zippity-doo-dah, motherfucker.
No, Walt Disney is played by... Morgan Freeman.
Zippity doo dah, motherfucker. That was As Dusk Falls on Disneyland.
There's a little post-credit scene where, in the depths of Epcot, something stirs.
Hitler's brain.
Yeah. Yeah. like a Frankenstein-style... as Hitler's brain... starts manipulating the machinery around it.
No, it's in that giant golf ball.
Yeah.
It's powering Epcot. Oh, God.
There you go. That was As Dusk Falls on Disneyland.
Yeah, so thank you for that, Duatiga. Don't Worry About the Government podcast. Check that out on iTunes or wherever. I think I've just got it on iTunes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check that out. Yeah, thank you for listening. Remember to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast and follow us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show.
And Instagram at Life's a Pitch Show as well. And go over to Patreon if you enjoyed that. If you think that that should happen more, if you want more pitches and things like that. If you want a bonus pitch every single week, then maybe you want to go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast and pop us a little bit of recompense our way.
Mm-hmm. So, until Disney find this podcast episode and decide to press charges, I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
And remember who pitched it.
Bye!
Bye!